The free market just tells you or shows you the right direction and leads you to like a better life, better career, healthier relationships with people. It's wild that this Bitcoin, like digital money, just has this big impact on basically every single aspect of your life.
Hello guys, welcome once again to Bitcoiners Podcast. Again, this is the second episode of this partnership that we had with Bitcoin Film Festival. So today, again, I'm not only the host, today is joining me Salali. So before introducing my guest, welcome Salali.
Hi, yes, second time, and happy 2025, everyone.
That's true. It's the first episode of 2025. Yeah. So today we're going to have this amazing filmmaker. He's also a content creator. Probably you know him because he has done a lot of work in the Bitcoin space, understood all about decentralized technologies. He has produced top provocative documentaries, including the first Nostr documentary titled Social Media is Broken. Can we fix it? So probably you have a hint right now who this guy is. I want to welcome Max DeMarco. Welcome, man.
Hello. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, it will be amazing. Right. So Salali is going to be co-host, also going to make you some questions. But I would like to start the podcast if you can tell us a little bit about you so people can learn a little bit about your background and how you got into the Bitcoin space.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm an independent filmmaker right now, but that's not what I've always been doing in my life. So I'm originally from the music industry. I've been producing music there. I helped people develop their brand, artists for a long time. And then at some point I was orange-pilled, actually through researching the blockchain technology, because it was like this huge hype within the music industry. Oh, blockchain technology is going to solve all the problems the music industry has. So I researched and all of this and was involved in a pilot project. And from there, I then discovered Bitcoin and kind of understood that it's not necessarily only about the technology, but it's more about understanding what money is about. And then I wanted to contribute in the space and get out of my fiat job and started editing podcasts, because music industry, I was trying to see how can I adapt my knowledge of the music industry into the Bitcoin space. And suddenly like all of those Bitcoin podcasts popped up and their production quality was pretty bad. So I reached out to them and told them that I can help them to produce those podcasts, which then grew into a whole agency, which I'm still running and I'm still focusing on. But from there, I kind of got back into making videos as well. And at some point, I was long enough in the Bitcoin space that I felt like, okay, I can contribute, or I want to have some contributions in the space as well. And then I just started using a cheap webcam camera, started to film some things. And yeah, this then developed into like a full-on passion, trying to figure out how to make better and better Bitcoin movies. And yeah, that's basically how I got into the space and a little bit of a view into my past.
That's awesome. When do you find the first time the value of Bitcoin? I'm not talking about the monetary value. I mean, you know, the deeper level about it.
Yeah, I think the first time where it really clicked for me was when I was debanked. So in Germany, I was debanked at some point because some small thing. And it was just like they didn't even communicate with me. It was just like, we have this transaction, which kind of got flagged. It was because I did a peer-to-peer transaction. And exactly. And then it was like, then it became real, like this feeling of you actually don't own your money. You just need to trust another institution that they hold the money for you. And this was the point where I was like, actually owning the money and being able to hold your own keys is such a powerful concept, that before that only was an idea. But once I actually got debanked, I was like, this is more important than I thought. And this kind of changed your whole perspective on Bitcoin for me.
Wow, that's super awesome and really interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Salali. Do you want to say something?
Exactly, because you said thanks for that. Thanks, Juan. So you mentioned that how actually Bitcoin changed your career in between. Like, you wanted to contribute to the space, but many of your formats are also focusing a lot on food, healthy lifestyle, you know, like they are not typical Bitcoin videos. I would later also like to talk a little bit about your style, which is unique, but how, for example, Bitcoin changed your own perspective on life, not only money, but everything else, because I see a lot of these references in your works.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bitcoin changed my life completely. Like, I would say without Bitcoin, I wouldn't do the content as well or live the life I do. Because before that, the music industry is pretty much completely fiat. So what I didn't like about it is they just pushed money on marketing different artists without really valuing their work or trying to make good music anymore. And my life was kind of just not focused on the long term as it is now. And I was rather trying to game the system to make it's the typical fiat mindset, right? You try to somehow game everything. You don't really think that small incremental changes will lead to the big benefits down the road. It's kind of like just like thinking, oh, how can I do this as fast as possible? If you want to get a six pack, right? It's like you have all of those fiat promises. You take this pill and in 1 week you have it. But once I understood Bitcoin, I kind of saw that all of those small decisions I do every day, they stack up and accumulate. And it's not about how you can get six pack in 2 weeks or whatever. It's kind of like, okay, how do you have a sustainable lifestyle which you can live through for 6 months, for 12 months, maybe even 24 months, and then you'll get there. And so this kind of changed the whole perspective. I mean, safety in Amuse, he talks about low time preference and high time preference a lot. And by actually adopting this money and having the feeling that, okay, now every work I do, everything I do is just focus on the long term. Like, as you said, I'm focusing on living a healthier life, focusing on doing Bitcoin content. And all of this also in the beginning didn't really work, if you would say, like it didn't get a lot of clicks, like people didn't resonate it. But it's just like by knowing, okay, everything I do only matters after 5 years, after 10 years, I'm having this low time preference kind of changed my whole perspective on life. And this also then kind of represents itself in the content, because I, as I said, I don't necessarily want to only talk about Bitcoin. I want to talk about those topics which actually I learned through adopting Bitcoin and how my life changed.
Amazing, actually. And a really, really unique style. But for example, for people who are not that familiar with your videos, maybe they just saw a few random, like Kuwan mentioned the first documentary about Noster, maybe they just know this. How would you describe your style? Because for me, it's very unique. It's not a typical YouTube content, though most of your videos are actually rooted in YouTube. They are like, it's also not like typical documentaries. Neither these are vlogs, though you are traveling a lot and showing this. How would you describe your style for somebody who doesn't know what you do?
That's a very good question. Because that's a funny thing. Like, I'd never learned how to do videos. Like, I never had any course or anything. It was basically Bitcoin gave me the opportunity to be like, okay, so maybe I need to preface something. So when I was 12 or 14 and YouTube kind of blew up, I started making videos with my friends. It was just for fun. We uploaded them on YouTube and it was a lot of fun. But then because you go into school and you're like, this can't be a career. You can't make money with videos. I kind of disregarded everything. And then kind of having Bitcoin and having this long-term focus again, now I was able to like think a little bit differently over it. And one of the things was like, okay, this is so much fun. Let's just focus on this. And even if I don't make money, even if I need to finance everything myself, I want to figure out how to do it in a cool way. So get back to your question, what is my style like? It is like I never studied any filmmaking. I never knew how to do it. It's basically just, I would say, my personality put into the medium of film. And what's different in my videos is that most of the things are connected to the music, because music is a very important part of my videos. So I use a lot of emotional musics to transport the messages, how I feel them. Because I can talk about, I'm actually super hungry because I'm on the carnivore diet and I can't eat anything and there's a croissant. But because I'm a musician and use music, my music rather me saying that I feel like that, I try to use music to make you feel the same way when you watch videos. And that's kind of, it resulted in this weird style, as you say. It's like a mixture between documentary, a mixture between vlogging, a mixture of me just talking to the camera, which, yeah, I don't know how to describe it other than it's my personality.
Max DeMarco style.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question referring to now that you're talking about that, because I don't know if you do this, like when you're making a film or something, do you have like a personal hint in every video or some Easter egg that probably the closest to you know about it or only you know, but you put it there like very subtle, like you only know the reference, but you're like, man, it's super good, because I do in the podcast, so I don't know what about you.
Yeah, I have some. So most of my videos are kind of like, if you're a normie and don't understand Bitcoin, you will understand everything, but you don't get the sub message of being a Bitcoiner. So Bitcoiners will get a lot of references which normal people don't get, but normal people don't even know that this is a reference. Like, I don't know, like sleeping on the floor. Like, I think I said something with like sell your bads or something. It's like, you know, those subtle things, but I don't have this one thing, which is in every video. I just try to, as I said before, kind of like transport Bitcoin messages in a way that is not Bitcoin related. It's like, let's say Bitcoin messages for normies. That's kind of what I do.
Propaganda.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's why, like, I think, so a lot of people, for example, in my carnivore video, I did a carnivore video which like blew up. I think it has like 1.2 million views or something. And a lot of people there in the comments are like, oh my God, your t-shirts, it's like infinity divided by 21 million, Knut Swanholm's meme, right? And I didn't mention Bitcoin at all, but people were like, I saw you're a Bitcoiner. That's so cool that you have like those Bitcoin rallies and so on. So there's always something in there to discover, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, authentic to be authentic exactly. Is very important. But I think you have also, which is unique, very high quality. Because most of the content, let's say that people are, in theory, that they will try to do similar to yours, it will be kind of like low quality. So your videos are very, very professional. I'm actually surprised when you said that you never studied it. Because yeah, if it's just what Bitcoin did to you, come on, everyone.
Exactly.
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It will change your mind.
But it's proof of work. Like, it's in a sense, like, I never studied it, but I invested so much time into trying to understand it, because also you might be surprised. I only started like 3 years ago making filmmaking. So, but it was kind of like every day, 8 to 10 hours, just doing this one thing, because I was like obsessed with it and I wanted to do something in the Bitcoin space. And so that's also, as you say, right? Like, I don't think that it's hard to learn a new skill if you have the time and the dedication to do it. It's just like you have to overcome all of those challenges on the way, but those challenges are part of learning that skill. So if it's going to be like learning Muay Thai and going to fight, or becoming a carnivore, or becoming a filmmaker, or becoming a podcaster, or building a film festival, all of these things are like possible. It's
or
just
trying
like you
not
have...
to die in a swimming pool without breathing, because one of your videos you were doing also this, like, I was like, man, this guy is like, what, trying to kill himself.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, this is also what I'm trying to do and show people that, like, whatever, like, if you have a goal and you're actually dedicated to do it, you're able to do this. I forgot. I was rambling. I forgot the initial question, but yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Silali.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that. Actually, there was no question, but I was just, kind of like giving you a compliment. But what you just said, I don't know, Juan, if you also agree, and maybe you know even like specific examples in El Salvador, but what you said is proving, especially for me as a Bitcoiner, that we don't need to, you know, have a certificate, a diploma, which is so typical in a standard world. Again, don't ask for permission, just do it, learn on your own. You can be anyone. And also to what you said at the very beginning, as a teenager, you were maybe talented, you could develop and then have a nice career or whatever, right? But you gave up on this YouTube stuff because it was not profitable. That's so fiat, right? Now you can, I also learned in the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, like so many different things that are completely different than my university let's say type. And I'm happy about it. It's, again, don't ask for permission. Don't follow blindly this kind of path. You can be anyone you want. And with having like sound money that is peer-to-peer, also now with Nostr and with such a huge support of the community, you can do, yeah, you can be anyone you want as long as you will be bringing values to others.
I agree. That's a cool thing. Like today we have so many possibilities to do whatever we want because it's just, you don't need to ask for permission to learn something. And it's only about creating value for the market. So you just need to figure out whatever you're passionate about it. And then also try to figure out a way to, like, if you want this as a career, to long-term monetize it. And like Bitcoin gives you the possibility to not needing to focus on this for an immediate, you don't have the pressure because I was still working in my fiat job and making the transition to the Bitcoin job by just like knowing, okay, maybe I need to focus like 3 hours additionally to my fiat job on my skill. But doing it in the Bitcoin space, it's also like you get this real-time feedback because it's not influenced by this fiat mindset, because if Bitcoin are like what you do, they're happy to pay for it, and therefore you can skill, like increase your skill even better. Whoever, like if you're out there listening to this and trying to figure out what you can do in the Bitcoin space, it's like literally the possibilities are endless because we are rebuilding this whole system based on Bitcoin. So you can take whatever skill you have in the fiat world and just adapt it to try to build a service and try to talk to Bitcoiners if they actually need this, and then just be open to pivot for it. Like in the beginning, I didn't think that my career would be a filmmaker, but by starting by seeing, okay, what does the market actually need? Oh yeah, it is Bitcoin podcasts. And from there, like different possibilities will just open up and you can like learn all of the skills and actually end up at the thing which you had maybe long-term in mind. But it's like this cool feedback mechanism where the free market just tells you or shows you the right direction and leads you to like a better life, better career, healthier relationships with people. It's wild that this Bitcoin, like digital money, just has this big impact on basically every single aspect of your life.
Absolutely. What I want to ask you is that, you know, this is a Salvadorian podcast, and yes, I know you made a short film about Salvador that is called The Truth About Bitcoin in El Salvador. And I had to ask you about a bit about Salvador, otherwise my fellow Salvadorians will kill me.
Yes.
So how has been your experience in El Salvador? What is the truth about Bitcoin in El Salvador?
Yeah, very, very good. I really like the people. They're super nice. I've been there now, I think, 3 times in the last 3 years.
Nice.
So I kind of see the progression towards like self-sovereignty, like also the investment happening in the country right now is insane. Like I've been at the Bitcoin beach like 3 years ago. There was nothing. There was no road. Everything kind of just was. Yeah, it was like the small town where, like literally you needed to go over like through the river to get from one side to the other one. And now you have like this whole infrastructure happening and like all of this like hotels coming there. And I get that some locals might be a little bit having some tensions there, but it's just, I think just one thing which is really great to see is that like all of the people that I met have a very, very positive view of the future of their country. And I think this is the one thing which I really resonated with, that like everybody's just like, oh yeah, we might have had this really, really hard history, and but this is now the first time that we actually feel like the future we're heading towards to is a positive one and we want to contribute. So I think this is the one thing where I was like, okay, the spirit of El Salvador is really into the right direction. One thing which I also noticed was, of course, Bitcoin adoption is a little bit stagnant. I think with education, what Mi Primer Bitcoin does there is really, really great. I think for where we are, I think, is it now 4 years or 5 years or something like that since it's legal tender? I think a lot of people tend to overestimate what's going to happen in the short term, but underestimate what's going to happen in the long term. And I think the same thing is happening with El Salvador. Like, we shouldn't expect that like 50% of the businesses accept Bitcoin and understand what it is. It's enough where they are right now. Like even 10 to 20% of the businesses or whatever the official number is. I think this is a great start for our country, and mixing this with this positive future. I think El Salvador, if they do everything or like they keep going down the road they've been going down the last years. I am very positive that this is going to be a very prosperous country in the future.
Cuando dejas tus activos digitales en un exchange o en custodia de alguien más, te expones a riesgos de terceros no deseados. A diferencia del sistema bancario tradicional, Bitcoin te permite tomar el control total de tus fondos utilizando tus propias claves privadas. Esto te permite ser soberano y esencialmente tu propio banco. Al tomar el control de tus Bitcoin, puedes evitar riesgos innecesarios de terceros. Almacenar tus Bitcoin en custodia de terceros como los exchanges puede exponerte a ataques de actores malintencionados, gobiernos o estafadores que lo único que quieren es apoderarse de tu dinero. Las billeteras de hardware aumentan la seguridad de tu billetera porque tus claves privadas se almacenan en un dispositivo especializado que no está siempre conectado al internet. Como te he dicho antes, mantener tus claves almacenadas en un dispositivo en línea puede exponerte a factores adicionales de ataque, por lo que se recomienda usar una billetera de hardware al almacenar grandes cantidades de Bitcoin durante largos periodos de tiempo. Jade es una billetera de hardware no custodial para Bitcoins y Liquid que ofrece opciones de firma simple y firmas múltiples. Yo personalmente lo utilizo para almacenar mis Bitcoins, ya que me siento mucho más seguro manteniendo mis Bitcoins en una billetera fría que en una almacenada, por ejemplo, en mi teléfono. Si estás pensando en adquirir uno para ti, no olvides utilizar el código de descuento de nuestro show, BitCorner Podcast. De esta forma estarás apoyando directamente el show y además obtendrás un 10% de descuento para la compra de tu billetera fría.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of the main things that I perceive as well, personally as a Salvadorian, because at first we didn't have first the tools and then we didn't have the environment. I mean, the healthy environment, right? We had all this violence. Now that was removed. So now people have the opportunities. But the good part, I think, is that also what the government did is to give the two choices, right? You can develop your own thing in the fiat world, or you can do it in the Bitcoin world. And as you mentioned, I think it's just going to be time. You cannot orange peel everyone at once, just timing. And but once they will see the benefits of it.
I mean, also the thing is like, Bukele got a lot of pushback with like Chivo and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But like now seeing what happens in the US, it's kind of like still he did a lot of things right, you know? And I think it's just like, you got to honor that he didn't try to push any other coins. And as you say, it's just going to take some time. And like for the fact that it's only been there for a couple of years, and in the grand scheme of things, like adopting such a new digital form of money, I think it's a great way. And everybody I talk to in El Salvador is very positive about Bukele, about Bitcoin. Like, not a lot of them understand it 100%, which I think also said like, it's fine. You don't need to understand it correctly instantly, but at least the people are open to it and it's going in the right direction. It's the same thing with like the six-pack analogy we had before, right? Don't expect it to change within 1 week. Just give it maybe with this 5 to 10 years, and then at some point you have like the sound fundamental and you can build everything on top of it.
Absolutely. So Lali also mentioned told me that you went to the Adopting Bitcoin conference. Do you guys manage to be there at the same time?
Yes, it was very cool this year. I really enjoyed it. The venue was awesome. Like outside, I'm a very big outside conference maxi, because I like always like inside the conferences, it's always blue light, everything kind of, it's just unnatural. And I just love conferences outside, and half of the conference kind of was outside. You had to go from stage to stage, which was
the rain, which I
exactly
yeah,
that rain. I didn't want to say anything.
You know, Shellal is waterfall. I experienced the waterfall on me and all my stuff, so.
That's true. Yeah, for you, it wasn't the best weather. That's true.
Mm-mm.
For kids, for you, for materials.
Yeah.
But anyways, do you want to add anything, Salalit, about adopting Bitcoin or something?
Yeah, I mean, since you already mentioned adopting Bitcoin, so maybe this is a little bit of a gossip, maybe my misunderstanding, but referring to the first documentary that you made, The Nostr, right?
Yeah.
So Tanya, She was running this traveling Nostr booth this year.
Yeah.
So it was like, what, Colombia, Salvador, and Brazil? Was it Brazil as well?
Brazil, Argentina, and El Salvador.
Okay, sorry. So Colombia is happening or was happening like a few days ago. Yeah. Okay, yeah, So very cool initiative, like trying to teach people about Nostr as a protocol. So is there any chance if you were there with the crew? Because I met your crew finally as well. So is there any chance that you had some good stuff, you know, some recordings? There will be second part of this documentary?
Yes, actually, there is something in the works. So we filmed a lot of stuff, but it's kind of like what I'm aiming to do is a very, very big project. And so it's bigger than I actually anticipated as well. So we're still in the weeds of figuring out some stuff because I want to do this big this time. So it's also probably going to take another year until it's out.
I was hoping to have another premiere in May.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, then next year.
Exactly. It's going to be a big project. So that therefore, everything is kind of like fit. We used it to film some stuff because obviously it's super cool to have all of those different countries connecting with Nostr and Bitcoin. But yeah, there is something in the works. And let's put it that way.
It was okay, good. So, spoiler for 2026.
Exactly.
Yeah.
An exclusive, I will say.
Don't pass it.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Actually, I want to ask you something, but because I just realized that probably I have never talked about Nostr in the podcast. It's very Bitcoin related and focused on. So, I don't know if you can give like a small explanations to the audience what is Nostr.
It's basically a way to own your digital identity in a sovereign way. It's similar to what I said with owning Bitcoin, how it changed my life, like being debanked, right? That why do we own Bitcoin? Because we want to have the sovereignty over the money ourselves and not have anybody else be able to influence it. And Nostr is basically the same thing with your internet identity, with your social media account, with anything you want to do on the digital realm, which is connected to your identity. So you hold your own keys to that. You have no company who can deplatform. You have nobody who is able to influence what you're posting or anything. It's literally you. And it's the equivalent to holding Bitcoin. It's the most sovereign way to hold your money. So a Nostr is the most sovereign way to hold and manage your internet identity.
If I may just add something, because I'm really sad personally, like I'm crying inside when people talk about Nostr as social media. I mean, it's a protocol, which means we can rebuild the entire internet based on that. The same as we are rebuilding the world and parallel, like we are building a parallel reality thanks to Bitcoin. First of all, Nostr is linked one-to-one with Bitcoin Lightning Network. Second, you can rebuild and pretty quickly from what I've heard. So it's not that complicated. You can build any application. So on Nostr, we have already equivalents of many different social media. We have websites, we have CMS equivalents, we have live streaming, we have everything, blogs. So if somebody is like tired, because social media can be also toxic and tired, if somebody doesn't feel like having another account, they can also check something else. And I think it's perfect for creators and artists, because you can monetize. So instead of Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever is out there, instead of giving somebody a like, you can send them a tiny fraction of Bitcoin. So the same way you can earn, and it feels so great. Yeah, that's the power of Nostr as well. What you said is important, like, yeah, this identity. But another thing is that, yeah, you can monetize your stuff and you can rebuild anything you want. So, and if somebody already did it, you can join and use it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to use.
Yeah, there are so many different angles which you can use Nostr for. It's basically like Bitcoin, you know, you can use the Lightning Network, you can use Bitcoin to encrypt stuff and so on. It's kind of like Nostr also has so many different use cases, and it really depends on what you're trying to achieve. Like, do you just want to post pictures which nobody can download? Are you a content creator who wants to have a way that your fans can send you money without any transaction fees and it's directly peer-to-peer, you can use Nostr. It's kind of this very exciting space which is evolving right now, and we're still trying to figure out what all the use cases are, but that's kind of the cool thing because it's so early. It's like the internet. You see, we have this technology, but what do we actually want to use it for? And this is like what developers, users, and businesses are trying to figure out right now. And as I said, or like, yeah, there are so many different apps which you can just use live streaming. And I personally really like Primal. So if you haven't used Nostr before, you can basically just go into the App Store, download Primal. It's a very easy onboarding experience and feels like Twitter. Just the difference is that you own the keys and nobody else can deplatform you.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm very fond of Primal as well. I love the UI. It's super easy to use. So you should give it a shot, guys. Yeah. It's awesome. Another thing that I want to ask you, because you mentioned that you were working on a big project. Lali told me a little bit about a big project. I don't know if I have green light to talk about this. Awesome.
Yes, yes.
You're making a media Bitcoin production company, so called Tansi. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, sure. So we have, or I co-founded with a good friend of mine, Bitcoin media company. It's called 21C Studios, and it's basically focusing on helping Bitcoin companies, Bitcoin personalities, or Bitcoin brands to develop their brand strategy, to create their media, and try to help them to get like very like on the highest quality possible. So we've worked already with a lot of Bitcoin companies in the background and a lot of Bitcoin podcasters. And yeah, that's basically what I did, what I told you before. When I was starting to transition from the music industry to the Bitcoin industry, I started this company, but I kind of kept it in the background because I was doing it mostly myself. And now we're actually scaling up, and now we have the possibilities to actually help more and more companies to do that. So if you're a podcaster who needs help to edit their videos and wants to increase the quality, you can come to us. But also if you are a company which needs highlight reels or even just advertisements, we are kind of the company who will help you to do like proper Bitcoin videos and not fiat videos. That's what we say, what is differentiating ourselves.
And can you tell a little bit about the difference? I mean, for people that is listening the first time about this, like how could you differentiate between the traditional media and between this one?
Yeah, sure. So one thing I think, if you need an agency or work with anybody, it's super hard that they actually understand Bitcoin. Like, let's say you have somebody talking about the difficulty adjustment. You would need to tell the media agency what the difficulty adjustment is, why it's important, how to actually put it into visual animations and so on. So everybody in our team is a Bitcoiner. So first of all, you work with Bitcoiners, and therefore all of the messaging which we've been working on is from Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So it's not about really about making like clickbaity stuff or making all of those, how do you say, like just to go viral. No, we want to actually provide the value which then transports the message longer term. Again, six pack. What's a six pack? Okay, you have like a six pack video. It's like, oh, I have this hook on here and there, and maybe it goes viral, but it's not going to resonate with the right people. It's just like in the feed. So we want to help the companies to actually help connect with their target audience to what they're for the long term and not just there for the cheap dopamine hits.
That's awesome. Lali, would you like to ask something about it?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, also connecting different dots. So you look like a very busy man. Like there is one of my favorite quotes, like, do what you love and you will never work a day in your life. I think Confucius said that. So it looks like you run so many different projects, like from the studio to making your videos. Recently, you started a very cool podcast, also super fresh, unique. So yeah, I love it. The health, proof of health. So many different things. You also before mentioned something about passion, but is it like all what you do really a passion, a hobby that is in between help, that in between help you earn money? Or is it your like regular job or something in between? Like, yeah, can you evaluate on that?
Yeah, I'm full time. I'm doing this full time. So everything I do is, yeah, as I say, my passion. And that's also why I'm able to do so much, because it's not like I'm not waking up and being like, I need to edit this video or help this company to create their Bitcoin content. It's genuinely what I want to do in life. It's kind of like, I know I did it for myself with my own YouTube channel, and it's fun, but I also know I can help other people do that. And it's just like this kind of keeps me like it keeps me motivated every day. Like I wake up and I'm like, oh, okay, what do I need to do? I need to post this podcast to this guy. So it's not really, it doesn't really feel like work. And because of this, I think I'm just able to do it for such a long time every day. So I'm not, because I think if I wouldn't enjoy what I'm actually doing, I would feel burned out. Because it's in the Bitcoin space, because it's something which I like to do, telling stories, it's almost like I have now this purpose, be like, okay, I know what I need to do. I know how I can contribute value to the space. And therefore, everything comes way easier than, for example, when I was working in the music industry. So, and also, I'm a person, I think that I always want to challenge myself. And I think to progress in life, you always need to be slightly out of your comfort zone. So I always try to push myself out of the comfort zone. And that's why like having all of those different projects, like if I would just focus on one, okay, then I would at some point be in my comfort zone again and wouldn't progress as much as if I would add more and more to my plate. And I think this is how me personally, I have been able to progress over the last, probably 20 years or something. So this is also why I do it now with my businesses.
Cool. Yeah, I quite resonate with that, but it's impressive what you're doing. So keep doing that. And I see kind of like a strong messaging in this episode for everyone that, yeah, if you understand Bitcoin, if you want to be free, there's really like sky has no limits, right? So yeah.
It's funny because like,
also show it, and we are also showing.
And this is the thing, like, it sounds like such a, how is it, boring saying, like, oh, sky's the limit and stuff. But actually, if you think about it, life is just like a video game. Because if you have a goal, you just need to be like, okay, what's my next goal? Let's say I want to create a film festival, right? Okay, this is the goal. And then you have all of those different tasks which you need to do to get to that goal. And there are also a lot of challenges and rocks in between those tasks. But it's just part of the game that you've been choosing. And as long as you just focus on the goal and you play according to the rules, and the rules might not always sound good, right? Some of the rules need to hurt you. Some of the rules think you need to lose money. But once you realize, okay, I'm in this game kind of to achieve whatever it is, then you just need to honor those rules. And you might not understand why you need this to do this now. But in the end, once you achieve the goal, then you'll see it. So that's one thing which I think a lot of people need to realize, that whatever your goal is, you can actually achieve it. But you need to work according to the rules. And the rules are not set to make you satisfied or anything. The rules are objectively the rules if you want to become or get to that goal. Those are the rules everybody needs to follow. And the only thing you can influence on that trajectory is that you don't quit by going through those rules, which means, okay, you want to build a business. So many people had to walk through the same process of failing for 10 years until they are there. And it's just like, it's just those rules which you have to go through. If you want to be a Muay Thai fighter, okay, you have to break a bone to go through it because you need to understand the pain. If you become a podcaster, you need to have a podcast which isn't recorded because of some things. If you want to have a Bitcoin film festival, you need to have no films and need to be very reach out to new filmmakers, or the timings don't work out or something. It's kind of like, and once you look at this, life becomes pretty simple. Because you just go this trajectory, but it's not easy. It's very simple because you just need to follow the long form part. But doing this every single day is extremely hard. So It's simple to get there, but it's not easy. And you
but
have
it
to.
It can
have
be also
discipline.
Rewarding if you don't push back, if you don't fight against the rules, if you just try to follow and understand and learn from them. It can be also very rewarding, even going through some kind of pain. If you can learn something from it, then it's very rewarding. So you forget the pain, and you actually, there is a very thin difference between love and hate, pain and happiness, right? So you can pretty quickly, like in yin and yang, kind of play with these things, and it all matters.
Absolutely. Exactly. In the end, it's like proof of work of everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you something, because you seem like a person that do a lot of stuff, as Lolly mentioned. So probably, I'm just curious about how do you manage your time to divide all different projects and like to complete every single task that you have in your own schedule, because that's the difference, right? We are our own bosses, so we put our own calendars and deadlines. So how do you manage to do that without burning out? Because there's something that you also mentioned, that when we work in something that we like, yeah, it's true that we don't burn out because we love it. But I think we charge our brain, right? I mean, it's like when you go to if you like to swim or to run, or to do surf, you enjoy it. But in the end, you feel tired because you're doing an exercise. And it's the same thing with work, right? Because you have to do the research and all the logistics on every single project that you do. So first, how do you not get burnout, and how do you manage to have everything like a structured schedule?
Yeah, I think for me personally, not burning out is really connected with physical activity. As long as I'm working out and using my physical energy to balance my intellectual energy, because most of the working we do today is very much connected to our brains and the intellectual capacity that you put out. And I think a lot of people neglect that, like 50% of this should also be within the physical body, because you can't do everything with your brain and then not move your body and not use your body as well. Because if you look at it revolutionary, we've been doing most of our tasks with our bodies. We've been outside all the time, but walking, been hunting and everything, and it's super unnatural to just sit in front of the laptop and do everything. So for me, I figured out that when I work out regularly and have kind of this outlet, then it really much balances everything which I'm doing. And this also incorporates having a good diet, having a good sleep. But all of this kind of comes downstream from me having physical activity. Even my diet is very much connected to that, because sometimes if I'm traveling a lot and I can't work out, suddenly my discipline with the diet goes also down. You know, like I might eat more than here and like not as much animal based or something. So I just know for myself, this is like the one thing which I need to influence to be working out, and everything else comes downstream. So this is kind of a thing which I also think everybody needs to figure out themselves. And there's also this self-experimentation to a certain degree, where you need to do very extreme things. So as in some of my videos, you know, I go very extreme on certain topics to understand how I react on the extremes, to then be able to dial it a little bit back, but knowing where the right mixture between not doing it at all is or going fully extreme. And yeah, I think that's one thing to how I'm not burning out. And another thing is also how you say, like, to how I'm prioritizing what I'm doing and having all of those different tasks. It's basically, I just look at the tasks which need to be done today, and then I organize them based on the priorities. And some of them are not as important as others. And it's kind of like, I always try to focus on one task before starting the other one. This is kind of a thing where I'm like just working tasks for tasks. And every day when I start the day, I have like a Notion page where I just copy paste what I know. Okay, today these are the tasks, and then I'm just able to do it. To do, I did it, to not miss anything. But I don't have a special formula where I'm like let's say hyper outsourcing stuff or having this formula to be able to track everything. It's really just a simple to-do list, and I'm just saying like I'm ordering it based on the priorities, and then I'm just like checking it if I've done it.
Awesome. Absolutely. So Lily, do you want to say or add something about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive what you said. I think I kind of, again, follow very similar pattern, especially I'm also traveling a lot. So yeah, diet, sitting all the time, like not even having a dynamic walk if you cannot go to gym or swim or something, really matters. It can fuel your brain. And it's also, yeah, very logical, because you have more oxygen, the muscles work, blah, blah, blah. The entire chemical beauty in your body is happening. But what I wanted to say is, and then later it will be a question, I believe you are trying to show this messaging in your films as well, right? If somebody wants to take it this way, again, like not follow blindly 100%. For me, for example, diets are for people who are sick. So don't follow 100% specific diet. I mean, if you feel like, fine, but don't push anyone like 100% this or that. Just find your own way. And I kind of see that this is what you're trying to do in your films, or maybe this is my understanding how I'm taking them. But the question is here, Yeah, exactly. Who is your targeted audience and why you are doing what you are doing? Like, what's the final goal? Not only because you love making it and sharing stories, as you mentioned, but what is the goal behind it? Like, what do you want to achieve?
The target audience, I think, is Bitcoiners or people who want to become healthier or a better version of themselves. I want people to understand that they need to take full responsibilities of their lives. It's not anybody else who's influencing your life. It's just how you have your own decisions and how you interact with the outside world. Most of the things that happen, you can take 100% responsibility for yourself. And I think we're living in a time where a lot of people tend to put the reason on outward influences because it's the easy thing to do. Why don't I have a six pack? Well, it is because all the food we have is full of seed oils and so on. But yeah, that's not really an excuse. Like, you could decide yourself to not eat seed oils and have a better life, kind of. And it's kind of like, as you said, I don't want to be somebody who says like, yeah, you need to do this and that, because then again, they are just following my advice and not figuring out themselves. So because I've just, like, with Bitcoin, I try to question everything myself. And I just want to people to show the way that you can live your life by questioning a lot, even what the videos I do, like, look at them and just take them as inspirations, like sleeping on the floor. Is it actually true what Max did when sleeping on the floor? Just try it, verify it for yourself. Don't trust me. I'm not the expert. That's what you did as well. Exactly. And then from there, you can take your own considerations for your life. And I think this is my message, which I want to put out there, is like, there are so many things where you just can't take responsibility, your money, your health, your relationships. And I kind of just want, first of all, learn those topics myself, because I'm not perfect. I'm still on the journey as well. So by doing this and showing what I learned, I hope that people will, like, take responsibility about those things themselves and go on a similar learning journey. And yeah, so that's basically why I do it. And I think I always tend to say, like we shouldn't wish that the world we want to live in is gonna just happen by waiting. So this is kind of like, I want my friends all to be more healthy and take responsibility. And this is kind of my way to create this kind of positive world. It's just like, by hopefully inspiring other people to do something similar, so that, like, the whole, or like the people in the world who have this positive outlook on the life, on their health and so on, becomes bigger and bigger to help people to live their best versions of themselves.
Yeah, beautiful message.
Yes.
I just realized that I was mute. That's awesome. Now, I just want to say that we're going to start wrapping up. So probably the last round of questions for you, Max. But before leaving, I just wanted to say thank you for coming to the podcast, because it's amazing. We're learning a lot and we have several projects. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's fun. As I said, it's just like being out of the comfort zone, learning new things. Just like, the more I am out of my comfort zone, the more I tend to learn. And it's also like, I need to fail a lot of times. It's like, of course, people only see the thing that I do on YouTube or like don't see what is there. But like, to get there, I failed so many times. And with my videos also, I kind of just want to showcase that it's very natural to fail. And by putting up so much on my plate, it's just like, I maximize the failure rate in all of those different things and therefore can learn even faster.
Absolutely. I resonate with that, because even for people that are listening to it right now and they want to probably have a fiat job, but they want to start their own project on Bitcoin, as you guys mentioned before, just give it a shot. Like, for me personally, I was like, I wish I had a Bitcoin podcast, a Salvadoran Bitcoin podcast. There's none. Now there are others than me, but I want this type of content, and I start doing it because I liked it. I wish to see that and people liked it, right? And I think when we start doing what we like, other people will resonate with you and you'll see that you will enjoy it. You will find your space. People will support you. So that's the beauty of this. It's not like we're not consumed by fiat money or for the rules or the pressure, right? It needs to be all in a rush. That's the beauty of Bitcoin, that we have like this long term to develop our stuff, and we will find people that they're in the same path. So we can work on that.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's start wrapping up. Silvali, I don't know if you want to ask something or add something. Your last question.
Yeah, unflap the culture. Literally. So I don't know, Max, this is the first episode of 2025, the second episode of this series. So once again, yes. Thank you very much for joining us. Still beginning of the year. So we shared many different, hopefully smart and full of inspiration messaging in this episode. Is there any one last thing you would like to tell everyone or wish them for this year, since there are still like so many months to go?
Yeah, I would say what I said before, like take a goal which you want to achieve, play the game, and just keep sticking to the rules of the game. And one thing which I did last year was taking a lot of risks, and it actually paid off massively. So I think if you're out there trying to figure out what you want to do, just take the riskier way, even though it's scary. This will push you out of the comfort zone, and therefore you will learn more, because I think a lot of people stop taking risks once they're getting older because we're in the comfort zone and we're like stuck to our daily routine. But I think the truly rewarding things happen outside of the comfort zone, especially when you take risks. So like if you're listening to this at the beginning of 2025, choose a goal which you want to do, which sounds so outlandish that there's no way you would be able to achieve it. And then just try to stick to the rules to be able to get there. And even if you don't achieve it at the end of the year, like you will be astonished how far you've been getting and how much you've been learned and so have been learning. So I think that's a message. That's also what I'm trying to do this year. Just taking a lot of risk, try to be out of the comfort zone, because this is how you grow. And yeah, I'm very bullish for this year and hope that all of us have a very healthy year and become healthier and achieve whatever we want to do.
Beautiful. Thank you.
But that's true, guys. The workout, it's way different when you work out. Like you feel energized, happier, healthier, everything, for real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I learned that like working a lot in the podcast and drinking coffee. And instead, I was drinking more coffee and I was getting more tired. I was like, I cannot follow this pattern. They're just start working out more. And yeah, yes. You feel the brain oxygen. So yeah, we're not experts. Just try by yourself. You'll figure out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And my last question is, like Silvali, that should mention that we're at the beginning of the year. Anything, future projects that you can share with us that's coming next, or conference that you're going, and where can people find you?
Sure. So future projects, I'm mainly focusing on the podcast right now and trying to get like to learn more about becoming healthier. So I'm really focusing on getting cool people on and try to learn from them, because as I said, I'm still on the journey as well with a lot of topics. And you can find me anywhere. Like my name is Max DeMarco. If you need help with creating content for your brand or for your podcast, reach out to 21cstudios.com. My email is there, basically max@21cstudios.com. And otherwise, I'm very active on Nostr. I'm not as active on Twitter anymore. Nostr is kind of the place where I am, where I'm posting regularly. And yeah, a lot of things happening. As I said, I can't talk about all of it yet, because I also didn't figure out everything myself yet. And I have those ideas, but because they are so much out of the comfort zone, I also, before I talk about them, need to figure some things out. So, yeah. And thanks awesome. For having me on. This was really, really cool. Hope to be in El Salvador soon. You're now in Barcelona, so maybe we're going to see each other there. That was really cool.
Yeah, I'm planning to go to El Salvador by the end of the year to adopt in Bitcoin, so probably.
Maybe there. We'll see. Sounds good.
Yeah, probably. Silvali, it was a pleasure again. Max, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, see you next month.